Hey friends, welcome to another Behind the Message with Jason
and Chris
and no one else. He's no longer at this church. No, he's in youth group. Matthew, we miss you. I told him this afternoon, I said, Matthew, don't take this personal. But you can join us next week, but we're going to record without you because I had my staff eval at 5:30 and we didn't want to come back.
And he's still here.
And I'm still here. That's what Matthew texted me before he left the office. Said, hope you're not getting fired in there with a bunch of laughing emoji faces. So, anyways, Matthew, we'll have Matthew back next week. Yeah. If you missed your potty humor, Matthew will be with us next week. But, all right, so here's the deal this week. We've got two Sundays to go through because we didn't record last week. Those two Sundays, I didn't even preach.
No.
So that's going to be unusual. And we don't have a ton of questions this time. And no one prepped. So it might come through. We didn't prep. Chris just saw these questions.
Yep.
At least in this format. Yep. So we're going to kick things off. Chris, you preached 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
What was the most difficult thing about preaching?
Oh, man. I've told you, I've told Derek, I've told lots of people that I sat down to write this thing and I nothing blank. And I was really, it took me a good 2 weeks to put it together.
Yeah.
And I was pretty nervous. I was scared that I wasn't going to get it finished. And
you did.
But yeah, it was rough. But I mean, I'm not doing this. This is not my job. It's not, you know, I'm not used to doing it.
Yeah, that's what I told you. I mean, it's like if your job, and it basically is, like I'm writing almost a research paper every week.
Yeah.
If you do that every week, you just start to pump this stuff out every week.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully, not like a robot, you know, you're praying through it. You know, there's more to it. But still, it is it when you're in it every week.
You gave us the format, kind of the outline, and that helped. That helped tremendously to kind of formulate that and where to put things. And
And I told you too, like since I didn't preach for 2 weeks, this coming Sunday will be a harder message to write, just because you get out of it for a little bit. And it's Romans.
It's still Romans.
No, you did an excellent job. I didn't listen to it until we were driving back. Well, one, I had already listened to it, and then I was like, well, let's see what it comes, you know, on just listening with the audio.
So you listened to the bad one.
That's what you said. I thought it was good. You know what, whether you realize it or not, I thought you have a great public speaking voice. Like listening to it, it just came across like strong and clean and clear. I mean, it was,
I'll tell you, I haven't listened to it on, on the, I did start it up the other day. Me and Alex were somewhere and I guess you had just sent it out maybe, or whoever sent it out. I can't remember. Anyway, I clicked on it and it opened up and it was just that first line where I did the intro and I turned it off immediately. And Alex goes, you sound just like Jason. I was like, no.
No, I thought he sounded good. Matthew listens to himself. Soon as it hits the internet, like immediately, he was waiting.
Look, there's issues behind that.
There's issues. All right, well, this is how it's going to work. You taught on Romans 3, 1 through 20, which was a lot of text to go through.
Not a whole lot of good news in that.
Well, we've got a lot of text coming up Sunday, too. The whole chapter, I believe. So,
Well,
it's just all one thought in Abraham. It's hard to break it up. I'm sure I could, but break it up into.
Well, we talked about that, as not to derail, but that was another difficult thing, was teaching out of the book of Romans. And you're like, I need to use the book of Romans to teach, where it's one letter, and it's not really meant to chop it up into these little bits and pieces.
I thought about this today through teaching through Romans. Sometimes you feel like you're repeating yourself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I viewed it more like, no, it's like a nail, a very important, obviously, nail that you're hammering in every week. And we need that same thing hammered in every week. It's not true. Like we every week we're like, let's get a different nail that, different, So it is what it is. I think that was, it's hard, but it is hard when you teach every, I came up with some of the points for this Sunday, and who knows if those will be the final points, but right. It did, sometimes you're like, man, I feel like I've already said this. I'm like, well, that's because Paul already said it, we're just trying to teach through the word. So, all right. So you taught Romans 3:1-20. Main question, what does the law reveal? I'm going to fire through your points.
Yep.
The law reveals the faithfulness of God. The law reveals the righteousness of God. The law reveals that no one has an excuse. The law reveals the knowledge of sin. And then your summary point, the law reveals our sin and need for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So we'll do three questions on that message.
All right. So the first question is for you, Jason. Will God save us if we aren't faithful?
Oh, man, I really wish we would have prepped these. Now that you asked me any of these questions.
I'm glad you didn't ask me that one.
Oh, boy. I'd say God, God does save us when we are faithful. When we are faithless, the text would say God's faithful when we're faithless, when we struggle to have faith. Mm-hmm. But God will not save us when there is no faith. I gave Matthew, and he loosely quoted it, but there's a D.A. Carson. Yeah. You remember that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Have you seen that video?
I have not.
Oh, man. I'm just going to play. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to play it for you. It's so good. Not right now, but talking about it, what faith saves is not the intensity of the faith that saves,
right,
but the presence of faith. Yeah. And so, yes, God will save us when we aren't faithful all the time, but God will not save us if we are never faithful, if that makes sense. So. People are like, whew, they should have prepped. All right, so I'm going to twist this question for
Please
you.
Do.
The Jews had the advantage of growing up with the law. We looked at that in the text. I'm going to ask you, are there disadvantages? And we talked about advantages, but are there disadvantages of maybe growing up in the church today?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could, just off the top of my head, you could take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It's publicly available. I mean, there's no, like, you're not being shamed for going to church. So it's kind of a cool thing. So you might not, I guess people won't fully, embrace the faith, the building of the relationship with Jesus. It's just something that I do. This is something that people do. So yeah, I think there's, I don't know if I'm explaining that perfectly, but yeah, there's disadvantages.
Yeah, I think as you're talking, part of growing up in church, you misunderstand the discipline of the faith with just the routine.
Yes,
and when the discipline of the faith is a good thing that I think we don't teach on enough. But when that discipline of the faith, when you just think, well, that's just what we do. It's just a thing we do. Yeah, church becomes numb. I grew up in church. So when you go to church and you just go through the motions or you're not even listening and are engaged.
Yeah,
so there's a danger where that discipline isn't building your faith. You've let that discipline just become some numbing thing that you think you're supposed to do.
I mean, look in the text where it talks about, when we were talking, it made me think of this. The Jews had the word of God. They learned, they memorized it.
Yeah.
Great big portions they would have to memorize, and they knew it. And I don't know. And then we just take it for granted. Like, mm-hmm. we have a complete Bible, and we're just like, eh, I go to church and see my friends. Or
well, you do think the you know the fulfillment of the law to love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, and you have these Pharisees or the religious leaders that knew they had the law memorized,
yeah.
And yet they're the most unloving people that we read about. So I guess there's another disadvantage.
Yeah.
You can be, I guess I've heard that you can be so obese with biblical knowledge that you forget to be loving.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, there we go.
All right. So how does the law shut every mouth?
Because no one can fulfill it. There we go. The law is this constant reminder that you don't measure up to a holy God. And so, you know, there's no, I think the text talks about every mouth is shut because they, I mean, what are you going to say before a holy God other than I've got nothing, you know? So,
yeah.
All right, there it is. There it is. You got anything before I go to sermon two?
I don't think so.
All right, cruising along. This is going to be a quick behind the message, maybe. Romans 3, 21 through 31. Matthew, Tom. I think it was 31, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was through, yeah.
All right. The rest of chapter 3.
Right.
Okay. Matthew taught, he answered the question, why does faith matter? He texted me while I was on vacation and said, I've changed all my points.
Oh.
And I talked with Derek. Derek coming up on the podcast. Well, Matthew, I don't care to share this publicly. If he gets mad, whatever. Matthew, before I left on vacation, Matthew goes, can I send you the manuscript next week? I was like, yeah. I said, you can send me the manuscript. I said, I just won't promise you I'll read it at the beach. So, of course you can email it to me. So, which I probably would have read it for sure. But I guess he sent it. He took that as like, send it to someone else. So he sent it to Derek.
He sent it to Justin too.
Did it? Yeah.
He was going to.
I don't know. I didn't know either. Derek, like, he said, I shouldn't have sent it to Derek. Derek changed everything. I'm like, well, it's you want true, like, advice and critique. Derek's definitely gonna give it to you. So I think he cleaned up. I don't really remember his previous points, but he cleaned up his points to be a little bit more simple, which is good. Teaching through Romans, I thought Matthew did a great job.
Oh yeah.
So main question is, why does faith matter? He had 3 points. We are made righteous by faith in Jesus. Our boast is in Christ because of faith. And all can receive salvation through, which I don't remember what was that.
Salvation.
Through comes, Jesus? Through, I don't know.
Yeah.
Matthew, do you remember? He's not in the room.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll figure it out. Or just go listen to the message if you haven't listened
to
it. No, I said even before we brought Matthew on that I think he's got the gift of teaching. And I think he just continues to grow in that.
Mm.
And Matthew does a great job. I don't know how much, I don't know if anyone gave him these cross-references, but Matthew does a great job with cross-referencing, finding passages that prove and connect to the main passage. And I know I was making fun of him, but I think Matthew does a better job of that even than myself. Mm-hmm. So he does. Hats off, Matthew. We believe in you, brother. So 3 questions. Is there a difference between a good person and a righteous person?
Yes. A good person is... we've talked about this in here before. A good person is only going to be good. Is only going to follow like man's law, whatever the crowd's going with currently, whatever our current world sees as good.
That's a good thought. No pun intended.
Whereas a righteous person will follow God's law, regardless of what man's law says. So yeah, there's a difference.
I didn't even think of the question that way. That's a very good...
Well, what were you thinking as it?
Well, I think in the sense that like no one's good and we're only righteous because of Christ. But to your point, I think we talk about... that's very fluid in our culture where, you and I would not be good people.
Right.
Because we might disagree in a way, about things of a sexual ethics and, abortion or different, the way we view the government, we may not be good people to some person's eyes, but it's a good thought. No pun intended. And then a righteous person is looking towards what Christ says.
Right.
That's good. That was a good answer. See, this is why we don't prep. We're never prepping again.
Moving on. So the next question for you, Jason, is how were people in the Old Testament saved?
Okay, I believe this question has come up from someone in the church, at least in a roundabout way. And this question, I think I'll answer a good portion of this question in this Sunday's message. But I would simply say people in the Old Testament were saved the same way we are saved. Everyone is saved through faith.
Right.
Grace through faith in Christ alone. That has never changed. So I heard, I think it's Chuck Lawless or whatever. He's always wearing a suit. Doesn't look very comfortable to me, but smart guy. He said something I think was helpful. I think the saving agent has never changed. There's no two gospels. There's not a gospel of the Old Testament, a gospel of the New Testament. However, us as New Testament believers, we look back to Christ, and Old Testament look forward to Christ.
Yeah.
But it's still the same.
They had the faith in the coming Messiah.
Yeah. And they look forward and we look back.
Right.
If people want to view it that way. But the saving agent has always been the same. So you're like, well, how'd they get to heaven if Jesus hasn't been born and died and came back to life? I'm like, well, faith.
Right.
Faith. So does that answer it? I think it does. If anyone has further questions... we brought that up at small group, and I don't remember what I said, but I don't think it was helpful. All right, so last question this one was a doozy. How do we still uphold the law?
How do we still uphold the law?
And we didn't just come up with that. That's what, I think the end of verse 31 mentions in Romans 3. What's it say? It
says... Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law.
All right. So, yeah, what does that mean? How do we still uphold the law?
That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So we're not throwing the law away.
Yeah.
We still have to live within the means, but knowing that we cannot do that perfectly.
Yeah.
That we now have a high priest who's taken the ultimate sacrifice for us and bore our sins and our shame.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, I mean, you can't just throw out the law, but like, oh, Jesus is here. So no, I mean, Jesus come to fulfill the law. I mean,
yeah. I think that when you look at the Old Testament, or you say, no one was saved by upholding the law, even though people would certainly, the Pharisees would say that. Certainly why they keep bringing up circumcision as we go through the book of Romans. Yeah. right, it comes up again Sunday. I guess the way I had explained it is that because of our faith in Christ, we have a faith in the promise and the trust that Christ fulfilled the law. And because of that faith, we can now uphold the law through Christ. So Christ is working through us.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm totally off and all that, but that's just the way surface level reading of that. So if anyone's listening to this and they're like, nope, that's not what it means, call me up, tell me, because that's where I'm headed with that one. So there it is. Two Sundays and the quickest podcast maybe we've ever done. We're going to end with a cultural question that Chris doesn't like. Is it wrong? This is funny. Is it wrong for grown-ups to play video games? That's a fun... I don't know why I haven't thought of that question before. It's a fun question.
Is it wrong?
Because we know...
We know two guilty guys.
Well, we know... How is it when Mark Driscoll was popular among everyone? He used to call guys that play video games boys that can shave.
Oh.
And... Or I've heard a few maybe aggressive, charismatic preachers talk about how men shouldn't be playing video games.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, I mean, very conservative. Like, you don't say men don't play video games if you're not wearing a suit and tie. I'm just saying. And again, I don't have any wrong with anyone wearing a suit and tie. Ties are so uncomfortable.
No, I don't see anything wrong with it, but in all things that we do, it should be in moderation. It should not be ahead of our relationship with Christ,
yeah.
First and foremost. It should not be a problem in your household. Like if your family's going all haywire and you're playing video games, then you need to readjust your priorities.
Right.
But just to play, no, I don't. But again, in moderation I don't know. That's all I'm
going to stop there. Well, and let's tell the world we're playing next gen Xbox consoles now, Chris. You on Friday?
Yeah.
And I think to your point, you know, that if your video game playing is getting in the way of your role and responsibility to not just parent, but to parent also emotionally, that like you're there for your kids and listen for your kids, and like you're not present because, you know, you're a nerd just sitting down playing video games all day.
Right.
That's not, I would say that's sinful and unhealthy. Unhealthy. And just like with any hobby, that can happen with anything.
Right.
In our life, I guess video games, just with the we should have got Matthew in on this because gosh, he's like, remember last time we brought up video games and here Matthew lectured us for about 20 minutes about past video games and
yes. Sorry, Matthew.
Sorry, man. Maybe we'll bring it up next week. But I think they carried a stigma just because they are still fairly new in our culture. But what kind of bothers me is I don't like when some of the older generation say, like, you play these stupid video games, and then they like get on their phones and play like Candy Crush for 5 hours, and you're like, you're playing a video game too? Like, it's just not as cool as my video game. Like, you know, like adults have always played games, whether they're playing checkers or chess or, you know, so let me ask you, is there certain video games like Christians should not play?
Sure, if you can't handle it. Yeah. I would say that would be based on your spiritual walk and how far along you are. I mean, there's different levels to, if you're a new Christian and you seeing something on a video game is going to cause you to fall or stumble, then absolutely you shouldn't play it.
Right.
But if you're, and then again, if you're further along in your walk, then you should probably monitor if your behavior's changing.
I don't know if that makes sense, wise, but when we use media, whether it's music or movies, we've talked about, and the same with video games, and they have become more and more immersive. That we're careful as believers, like, how is this causing me to think, to act, behave? Yeah. I'll give an example. Early on when that Grand Theft Auto game came out, got bad rap because, you know, you can do whatever you want in this game.
Yes.
I felt like it was almost, would you say it was one of the most first like truly popular open world
games. Oh yeah, I mean, the, like, how old is that game, and it's still
And this makes me sound terrible, but I played that for a while, and then I'd, you know, I'd be out, you know, hanging out with friends, and I'd see a car, and I was like, wonder if I just stole that car. You know, you're thinking like, what would happen if I stole that car? And you're like, I'm not ever going to do it. But why am I even thinking about it?
Right.
So it does check, you know, we as believers, we need to always check, like, how is this changing my thinking, my behavior? Is this healthy?
We've always heard that whatever you put in is eventually going to come out. So what are you putting in, and how much of it? And
even just for the younger generations or the people that are playing video games, the video games, I mean, they're doing an excellent job of becoming more and more addictive. I mean, that's why they're, and that's what sells. And the worlds with technology are becoming more and more expansive, in the sense that, like, I mean, if you play a video game, you're going to have to sink in, you know, hundreds of hours to get through it. Where I would say there comes a point where you just say, like, it's not that it's wrong to play that, but you're not going to bust through hundreds of hours of a video game and still in a month and still feel like you completed all of your adult responsibilities. So
when you were going on your idea there, I can't remember whether it's Japan or China, but one of them have implemented laws for younger people on the amount of hours that they can play video games.
Well, because they, I mean, and but they have like gaming cafes where you can go and play, and people have, I have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure I remember reading art, like, someone, people have died.
Yeah, I've heard about people
from just
dying.
Exhaustion of sitting there playing a video game.
Yeah.
If that's you guys, knock it off. I don't know. don't do that. Repent. So anyways, yeah, I think we're just, for maybe the younger generations, you're like, oh, those guys play video games, you know, whatever, it's completely normal. Right. And then some of the older generations are like, what a bunch of immature elders we have at East River Park, you know. But anyways, that's a fun question.
Oh yeah.
I didn't think about, like, Matthew needed to be here for that one, but he's got a PlayStation, so he's, we don't really talk to him. So, all right, let's pray. I gotta go put the kids in bed.
Well,
surprised Corey hasn't texted yet. So, did you read this? It's an article. In 2019, almost all of Facebook's top Christian pages were run by foreign troll farms.
No, I've not read that.
Yeah. We'll dive into that next week on Behind the Message. All right, I'll pray.
Okay.
God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for Chris and his willingness to record and his willingness to teach the word and to feed the sheep, and his faithfulness in that. And so I just pray for encouragement for him. I pray that we have a good night for the rest of the night, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
There it is.
Yes, sir.